Thank you very much.
Why did you pick Amazing Grace to direct?
Well, it started in a weird way, because I'd been looking for ages to find a political story to make a film about, something that I thought could shine a different sort of light on politics and present politics as something, you know, worthwhile and something that could achieve things. And I'd never really been able to find a subject. I was sort of, I don't know, disappointed with the cynicism that surrounded politics, although I could fully understand why people felt that. But then this script came along, and this script came more to me as a biopic, and it was very much more, I think, weighted in terms of the Wilberforce's faith issue than necessarily the politics or the anti-slavery. And so I persuaded them, you know, to slightly tweak it a bit and put the politics in the middle of it, because I thought also that would very much dramatize the issues of faith and also make Wilberforce much more active character in the story, and also allow us to play around with time a bit and not just tell a life from beginning to end, which can be very hard to keep the energy in a film going like that.
And a little more acceptable to the non-Christians, because I know the early scripts were very, very Christian-focused, weren't they?
Yeah, that's true. I thought it's such a great story, and I was so interested in his spirituality, because, you know, I think that's one of the disasters of the modern world, is that, you know, religion and politics have become so disconnected. You know, where are the Mandelas and the Martin Luther Kings and the Gandhis and all this sort of stuff that, you know, people either use religion as their political basis or have no kind of spiritual sense at all in their political life. And here was a character who managed to, you know, live in both worlds, and I think to great effect. So I did want to find a wider audience than just, say, a faith-based audience to tell this story.
How hard is it for you? You call yourself an agnostic, that's true, is it?
Yeah.
So how hard is it for you to actually bring out the full Christian side of the story? You know,
well, it's not hard at all. I mean, I recognize it and I admire it, and I thought his was a life of great courage and great will, what he did. And so it isn't difficult at all for me to understand that and to celebrate it. But I do feel, as a storyteller, I want to get more than that into the film. I mean, that's very important and the most important thing to some people, but you know, I wanted to get a kind of broader view of the character and a broader view of the world than that, but it isn't difficult to express that at all.
Ian Griffith must have been a marvellous actor to direct. I mean, he's had experience in that realm with the Poldark series, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. No, I was lucky with him, because it was kind of essential to me that the characters, the main characters in the film, were young. It seemed to me a genuine Camelot story, like a Kennedy story, if you like, of young people with great spirit taking on the kind of the establishment. And to do that, I really had to cast it young. But you know, it's hard to find young actors who have any sort of box office heat, but Johan does have with the Fantastic Four. So that made it easier for me to convince the studio to cast it young.
Of course, when you talk about the Camelot side, I'm sitting there going, where do I recognise this guy from? Of course, he was Lancelot in King Arthur.
Yeah, there you go.
What is it about the Wilberforce story that personally inspires you?
I mean, there's tons of it, really, but I suppose at the end of the day, how I look at my life is, you know, would I have the will, would I have the courage to just stick at something in the way he did and just simply not give up on it, and to be so convinced of the moral right of what he was doing that he just wouldn't let it alone, although everybody was telling him to leave it alone and he wasn't getting anywhere with him. You know, I think that's a kind of marvelous role model for anybody.
The subject of slavery comes up, and obviously there's actually more slavery apparently in the world today than there was 200 years ago.
Yeah, frightening, isn't it?
Do you think people are going to get that message out of the movie, that they need to do something?
Out of the film, but I mean, they get it out of, I think, the press and the publicity. I mean, there's a thing called Amazing Change, which is a big outreach that the American distributors did about the film. They're saying to people that, you know, don't watch this film and think slavery's been dealt with. It hasn't. Slavery's never dealt with. Slavery is always with us in every civilization there's ever been. And it's with us now, and be alive to it, be aware to it, sort of educate yourselves into what's going on, and then maybe in a tiny way you can help make things better. So, you know, that's really the follow-up of the film. You know, the press on the film, the writing about the film, that message isn't really contained within the film.
You have had a varied career as far as directing goes. What would be your favourite movie to direct?
I don't know. I mean, you know, I just like to, I suppose the next one is the favourite one always, you know. I tend not to look backwards. I tend to keep ploughing on. You know, there are films that are close to my heart, and the Up films are very close to me. Coal Miner's Daughter is very close to me. But, I mean, they're all, in a sense, you know, part of me. I tend not to go back and look at them. I tend try and figure out what's going on next rather than what's come before.
Are we coming of an age now where we look at directors? I mean, maybe it's just because I'm now in my 40s that when I'm looking at a movie, I'm not necessarily... yes, but I'm not necessarily looking at who the lead actor is. I'm looking at the director going, do I want to watch this movie? Oh, look, he directed
it.
Yes,
I entirely approve of that. I mean, I don't think there's enough acknowledgement of what directors do, frankly, and we know, especially you who see a lot of movies, know the difference between a well-directed and a poorly directed film. But I think it's great you think like that, and I think it's great that you pay attention to that. One of my other jobs is I'm president of the Directors Guild.
Yes.
One of the things we try and do is to try and put the director's role more in front of people so people know exactly how films get made, how films get put together, and you know whose vision has to guide it.
Well, that's an interesting thing because, I mean, you're coming up for the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where the way I read it, you're kind of having to jump onto Andrew Adamson's vision in some ways.
In a way, but not really. What's fascinating about this particular franchise is how different all the stories are. You know, I've got two of the children, the two youngest in my story. There's no element of Narnia in it at all. This is a journey that Caspian the Tenth is taking into the islands outside to the east of Narnia. So it's interesting. It's a whole different tone to the other things. I mean, of course, Andrew's mark is all over the franchise, but this is a completely really different story with a different tone. So, you know, it's not so much like doing, as I did a Bond, when you're kind of, you know, really just picking, taking the baton and then handing it on. This is a little bit different, and it's, you know, it's good fun.
I was quite intrigued to see that Ben Barnes, who you're directing in the next movie in Caspian, is in Dawn Treader, is actually starred in a movie called Stardust, which was your second movie too, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, that's right.
It's amazing how things go.
That. You're correct.
You ever think about the fact that both Amazing Grace and Dawn Treader have... little Christian themes in there? Maybe God's trying to get your attention?
Well, it is coincidental. But, you know, they're both good material. They're both interesting material. And, you know, they both present a challenge, I think, you know, for me to put the material out there in an even-handed and interesting way and not to be, in a sense, narrow-minded about it, either narrow-minded in a faith way or narrow-minded in an agnostic way. You know, it's to open my heart to what the stories are about.
And tell the story so that people enjoy it.
Yeah.
And get a message?
Well, I mean, there's lots of messages really out of Amazing Grace. I'm not so clear about what messages come out of the Dawn Raider as yet. It's very early days for us here. But, you know, there are lots of things that come out of Amazing Grace, a lot of resonance, I think, of politics today, of what people are saying to people in politics, what in America we're told, you know, if you don't like what we do, then you're being seditious, which is what Pitt was saying to Wilberforce, and the fact is, well, you can't oppose slavery because it's going to wreck the economy, like we're saying, if we don't invade Iraq and protect American oil, then we'll wreck our economy. All of this stuff was balderdash then, and it's balderdash now.
You are a bit of an Englishman in New York, as Sting sings the song. How do you think the Americans are going to find the story of somebody that they've never really heard of?
Well, they did very well there. I mean, it frankly, it did better than it did in England, where people know about this stuff. So, you know, what do you make of that?
That's
ironic. It did extremely well. It exceeded all our expectations, and people really responded to it very favorably. So, you know, that was a very pleasant surprise.
That would be too. Mind you, a well-made movie is a well-made movie, isn't it?
You would hope, but sometimes that's not the case, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've just been to see Transformers. It took my two boys to see Transformers for their sake, not for my sake. I mean, nothing wrong with the directing of it, but it's, you know, it's not the sort of... I'd rather sit down and watch an Amazing Grace, which tells a story, than watch just fun and flam. But that's the way the world goes at the moment. I mean, the top movies...
Your boys enjoy Transformers?
Yeah, hopefully they'll enjoy Amazing Grace as well.
Oh, good. Good. Well put.
Well, look, thank you so much for your time, and God bless you richly.
Thank you, and good luck to you all. Very good to talk to you.